Yeah, I believe.
Through the chair, so there were two reports the board considered. The first one being tender 08-2020 Aris Switch Room Construction and Civil Works. And the board resolved that they award the tender 08-2020 to Gongus Construction Pty Ltd for the upper limit amount of $3,028,000 excluding GST. And the second report was the Rosehill Landholders Update. And the board resolved that they note the information provided within the Rosehill Landholders Update report.
And do we need the decision to accept those?
No.
Right. So we've exited confidential. First agenda item. This council's investment, council's officer's recommendation that the report detailing council's investment as at 31 January 2021 be received as noted. I'd just like to make a comment there, Michelle. I'd love to see you keep that 650% up there. Yeah. Somebody move and second.
So do I.
That's a single, yeah.
Second.
Yes, Dave, thank you. Any comments, questions, statements? Just a comment I'd make on page 27 where it says sales fluctuation reserve. We've pulled 1.5 out to facilitate the lack of our water sales at the moment.
Through you, Mr. Chair, and you'll see in the later report for the quarterly budget review that we've varied the water sales down by 1.5 mil.
First time it's been used.
Well, money, isn't it?
Big difference in water sales.
So the interesting, we have a run of about decent years, got high rainfall years, it's going to make a big impact on the income, isn't it?
Yep. Any further questions or comments regarding to... Not all those in favour?
Aye.
The next agenda item is a progress report, capital works expenditure. The council officer recommendation is that the report detailing council's capital works program as at 31 January 2021 be received as noted. Somebody move and second. Councillor Keller and Councillor McLean. Comments, questions?
Through the chair, I'll just draw your attention to the bottom right hand corner there of 71% of capital is underway. So out of the 17.2 million, 71% of that. So that's at the end of January. So that's 7/12. We're running on track for delivering it.
That's a huge change from not being able to get 45% of our capital works done years back. Mm. Well done. Any comments or questions? If not, all those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Nice. Quarterly budget review, 31 December 2020. Councillor's Office's recommendation is that the board receive and adopts a quarterly budget review for the period 31 December 2020. Somebody moving?
So moved.
So we can do second that. I think it's indeed. Thank you. Questions, statements?
Just in a case of Dugon and Arrow, 25% reduction in amount of water. That's huge.
That's huge.
Yeah. You should have pumped right, shouldn't you?
Questions, comments? If not, all those in favour?
Aye.
I think I got this right, page 45.
Yeah, 45. Yep.
Audit Risk and Improvement Committee report. The board receives the notes and minutes of the Audit Risk and Improvement Committee meeting held on 4 February 2021. Somebody move.
So moved.
Mr. Keller, seconded. Councillor McCann.
Can I just mention on that report, just for council's information, that there was a presentation made to the committee on our progress with work health and safety. And many councillors would be familiar that was a big problem with the organisation going back. And I just wanted to commend Nicole and Michelle and the organisation for the changes that have been brought in with work health and safety. We're better than compliant now. We're ahead of the field. So there's been some good stuff done there, and it's worth mentioning.
No further questions? All those in favour?
Aye.
Yeah. Next item is the valve maintenance program. Somebody move in second. Councillor Sinclair. It's amazing that we have 6,000 valves that have been serviced.
Yeah, that's huge.
That is a huge effort. The officer's recommendation, the ongoing valve maintenance program reported and received and noted. Any questions? All in favour?
Aye.
Oh, here's one. The Mandamar Construction Progress Report. Councillor McGinn, seconded. Councillor Keller. The recommendation is that the Mandamar Stage 2 to 4 construction report be received and noted. And I believe we're running ahead of time and below budget. Is that correct?
Through the chair, yes, that's correct.
Oh my God.
As for me.
I hope we'll be able to stop them before they get to Perth.
Any comments or questions?
Find that construction rate is out of probably the reasonable acceptable. How they can get a book value of that is probably
plenty of fat in the system one.
Oh yeah.
Okay, if there's no further questions or statements, all those in favour? Water production report. That the water production report be received and noted. Somebody move. You're all work, Dave. Second? Yes, that's included. Any questions or statements?
Just a bit of a query on that. The last paragraph on the background. Your hilltops, Kermunda and the river of water, retail. I guess it's a big issue that I see, and so a lot of people about. And there's nothing personal about the people involved here, but it doesn't seem right that basically that those two councils are the clients of Golden Fields, yet they have a seat. In the case of Hilltops, they've got two positions on this board. It doesn't seem right to me. It's the principal involved. Like basically those councils they've got delegates on here, basically setting prices for their purchases and so forth. So it's a bit of a conflict of interest, as I said, Emma.
But the thing is, remember we were having a report done on who was in the advantage of that buyers or particulated, and we never ever got the result of the report. Remember we were going to get a report on that? We never got a result the anecdote I was said that it was pretty similar. So I was going to think it was pretty similar, but we were getting a report done on the... Do you remember that?
On the efficiencies?
No, on the cost of the benefits to the borrowers, or the cheaper, the benefit was to us.
There's
always been controversy about it, and at the time, it was Annika who said, no, it works out pretty similar rate, but I never worked with those.
But through the chair, I can bring something back to a workshop or something if the board likes, noting Graham's concerns.
I think that's probably it's a discussion probably that needs to be had. I do think though that and agreeing with Graham's point that it has been an issue, but I think as an issue it's not as significant as it was because perhaps due to personalities more than anything else, but there are situations where Hilltops are turning more to us to supply the water situation. They're recognising they've got issues with managing it and so forth. So it could well be in the future we pick them up as customers. The point about them having two delegates on the board is a very fair point, and was raised at the time of the amalgamations. It was due to an oversight, I believe, from memory, in the office where the act was drawn up, that they basically just went, these are the delegates and the councils they came from, and because Young and Hart both had delegates on the board at the time, whereas in Cootamundra's case, Governor Guy wasn't part of our scheme, so they picked up two delegates to get to Cooter's one.
Yeah.
That said, in the event that there was a discussion on fees and charges, then yes, you're correct with the conflict of interest issue, but that's a manageable conflict of issue because of the number of delegates, voting delegates.
I think
if the argument were to be raised that the bulk councils wanted to decrease their what they're paying for water and was put to an open vote in council, probably wouldn't get up. So I do agree with everything you're saying, but I just think that what was an issue is not as big an issue now as it used to be. But I think your point's about it.
I think this discussion needs to be held at a workshop level meeting and take it off the moment. If we could, I would instruct the general manager to put this in a workshop for next meeting. But in regard to the report as printed, any discussion or comments, questions? If not, all those in favour? Against?
It's clearly a wet season.
The next...
Keep going, sorry.
What have I done on now? The next agenda item is the integrated water cycle management. The Council's Office's recommendation is to accept the update provided for the development of an integrated water cycle management strategy. Accept the offer from Public Works Advisory for an upper limiting fee of $450,000. Include an additional $50,000 adjustment into the 2021 operational budget. Somebody move. Mr. Keller, seconded.
Oh,
sorry. Thank you. Comments, discussions?
Maybe an overview from Jeff.
From Jeff, if we could summarise it.
I apologise because the report is it's trying to be brief, but there's about 3 years worth of work in those brief 5 pages. I've tried to sit most of the outcomes from the work to date in those tables. And those tables in that report are specifically denominated issues in terms of either a general business issue or as per a scheme issue such as the Jubilee scheme, the Aura scheme, and Mount Taylor and Highlands Bridge. So I've broken them down into those and the specific issues listed or I suppose highlighted have been highlighted in there. The works and the proposals, which is on the table reports there, the proposal being about $450,000. A majority of the costings for that is around hydraulic modelling, and that is pretty much the engineering component of going around looking at the sizing of every pipe, the sizing of the pump station, the sizing of the treatment facilities, and everything like that, putting that into a model itself to operate, and then to include the future demand requirements for each of those specific isolated areas. Some of the work has been done, such as the West Wylam specific issue. We've done some of those things already, which will be included in that model later on. And that is only because of the timing issue. Same as the hour work and the junior work, we've proceeded with that outside of that. So the treatment plan and the demand requirements at those locations have already been undertaken. And we included that as part of our issues paper, which was submitted to TPI Water. The outcomes in terms of this will be a new DSP, which will be the developer servicing charges for us, a new long-term financial plan, obviously, and which also sets out a review of planning, tariff, new tariffs or tariff adjustments if we do make those decisions. We intended to get Public Works to provide scenarios in that case for the financial side of things, just because a lot of the questions and issues that have come about since even I've been in here, it's around, how should we apply developer charges to our bulk councils? What are the actual usage charges we should be applying to those bulk councils versus retail councils? So what this will do, we'll gather all that information, bring it back, and then we'll be able to have that workshop, have those discussions, here's our scenarios, and we can pick a path and say, right, at least we'll have some background and some actual justification why we make those decisions. So this is really, a lot of the body of work is the devil in the detail, and it's about 12 months worth of work in their proposal, and anything that Public Works provides is 12 months, double it, and then double it again. So, it's mainly on the point that they're doing all the councils, IWCNs, and to get them on board, and obviously to push to have this proceed straight away is, obviously it's necessary. I think we're overdue for a DSP, we're overdue for a new drought and demand management plan. Transparent for everyone when we talk about water restrictions. So yes, this is a lot of work in a very short brief paper, so I do apologize. If you do have any specific questions about it, I'll provide a lot more detail.
Could I just ask one while you're in the happy mood? Our non-revenue water from a couple of the schemes is a lot higher than the state average, like 530 litres. Compared to the state average of 92. What is our non-revenue water? Is that a leakage?
It makes up a combination of everything. So it would be your leakage. It would also incorporate any flushing requirements from those specific systems, bursts, treatment plant processes where you're required to do backwashes and clean your filters, things like that. That is what incorporates into your non-revenue water stream. Fire hydrants would be in that, yes. So basically anything that we have to use water for any other purpose that we can't charge or receive an income from, then that's not that. The industry standard is around that 10%. As long as you're below that, you're doing quite well. We're at around 5-6%. And given the extent of the supply area we have, I find that amazing. And we actually have the table systems there to review this stuff as well. So the daylight information that's come out from Public Works from this, I question it. I don't about the accuracy of it, only on the basis that the information we used, some of the bulk metering at that time from around 4 years ago, or probably the last 2 years, I would question. I wasn't It was an old meter, so whether it was accurate or not, we now actually have an electronic pulse meter, so we count liters per second all through the day and have that information now into our SCADA system. So I think moving forward more accurately, we'll be able to narrow down what is our actual non-revenue for that Mount Daylight system. But in saying that, I wouldn't be surprised if we did have a large amount of non-revenue. Obviously, we had that major issue of white PVC and significant lengths of white PVC out there with those bursts. And then for our operators to get out there to fix and recover that system takes quite a time. It's a 3-hour drive. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we had a higher than any other scheme out there.
Okay. Just on that report, too, I'm going to be live on the Highland Beach scheme. And we regularly will exceed our capacity, both in water and capability, to deliver. Like the graph shows that it's only a small scheme,
yep.
But it's running capacity and above capacity most years. And that's why I mean it truly stands out to me, I think, that at one moment I don't fully understand your license entitlement, there's only 100 minutes or whatever it is, but when we run out of water, are you saying that because it's a stopping domestic raw water thing that it won't be serviced like a can of water? That's something that needs to be addressed.
Mm. So that's why someone out there is an issue. So
yeah.
It's for further discussion. And a big component of this is that the demand modelling that goes into these now is a lot different to what it used to be when we sized that. So, and that's around that climate scenario. So, you know, we're talking about extended droughts, whereas previously we probably modelled 5 days worth of a hot period above 40 degrees, we're now modelling 40 days. And so for that, it's highlighting that, well, we don't actually meet that capacity to meet that demand. And 2 years ago, it was evident because we had to turn it off because we reached that, but we're just, you know, we're in that position.
Any other
I'm just a bit surprised here, page 63, where it says the reservoir storage volume at Tamora is less than one peak day demand. I thought we would have heaps of
Tamora. So the way that it's calculated is usable water for level of service. So any drop in level will lower the pressure. So some areas of the town will then have a drop in level of service. Our policy states that 12 metres. So what that is saying is that we've now modelled and included the additional climate requirements of that additional demand. And then in saying that, it will say, well, if we then have to use more water, it'll drop lower before it can pick back up and recover. So therefore, some customers may get below that 12 metres. So it's just saying that above a certain height, we need to consider additional storage.
Yeah, through the chair, I was very glad to see the pressure issues at Junee being raised again, because it is something that I get almost every election bashed around the ears about. So, hydraulic model. How long do we...
12 months is what they've proposed. And a lot of it will depend on us as well. We have civil engineers sitting down and validate those with those.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, we have made progress before we kick this off internally. We've already gone out and started the assets. The CNO guys have done. We've done some PIDs, which are basically already looking at the specific above ground assets to say, right, what is exactly there and how does that work? We do have a big chunk of that already. So we're hoping that we can try to stick to that for us as much as quickly as possible.
And do they still complain? I notice, you know, you mentioned here that it's not reliable because they don't always complain, but do they still complain about low pressure?
You will always have complaints, whether it be about pressure or the water. Most of those, at that time we provide increased pressure, would be their internal lines don't.
Yeah.
They're old, they might not handle it, they'll then have bursts, yeah. Or they're clogged, especially old power lines, so you won't receive the amount of pressure that they're capable of getting from because of their internal pressure.
Through the chair, we had a couple of complaints on Junee Re, low pressure, so we went around and they had old, you know, lines going from the meter to the house. So we put a scope down, we took a letter from the scope down the gun line, and we couldn't even get the scope down, the scope was only 15 mil. So the pipe's 20, supposed to be 20 mil inside the air, it would have been about 9 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the amount of water going through, there's nothing, the pipe's just clogged with rust and barnacles and everything.
Yeah. You don't hear that back from them,
yeah.
Obviously, at my level.
Yeah, and then the two consumers we went to, they got apologetic about that,
yeah, yeah.
didn't realise, and there's the photo behind.
Yeah. Well, that's important for them to know, too.
Yeah.
That's good. Good value. Thank you.
Thank you, James.
Councillor Arms,
Councillor
Armstrong, can you hear us?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My apologies for my lateness, but unfortunately my doctor was an hour late from Canberra, so...
Yeah, it's fine, thank you. The only comment I was to make before we just leave this, I believe a fair chunk of this $450,000 is in the hydraulic modelling, is that an accurate statement? It just seems a lot of money to get this document up.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chair. It is. It's time and building those hydraulic models and validating the actual assets on the ground is very time consuming. And that's where a majority of that is coming from. But once that information is then available, then it's the quick, you know, providing the, or putting it all in the model and then calculating what is the cost of upgrading certain assets, and that's how we build our DSP. You know, so we can accurately reflect new projects for increased growth and things like that. We can then apply actual costings and charges for all that. So a majority of it is just time.
Yeah. Through the chair, Councillor Armstrong, we're on page 60, IWCM. Page 60, IWCM report.
Okay, if there's no further questions or statements, all those in favour?
No.
The next agenda item is the Local Government New South Wales Water Management Conference. Council officers' recommendation is that the board nominate attendees for the Local Government New South Wales Water Management Conference. Approve the attendance of the General Manager. Somebody move and second, please. Councillor McGlynn?
Yeah,
Councillor McGlynn. Comments, statements?
The chairman and the vice chair.
You're fine?
That's good.
Any other comments? So you're saying the general manager, chairman, and vice chair?
They're persistent if nothing else, I want to get it done.
Well, if there's no further questions or comments, all those in favour?
No.
Carried. Thank you. Next agenda item is PPO 37, Community Service and Support Policy. The recommendation as printed is that the board adopts the revised PPO 37, Community Service and Support Policy. Somebody move. Councillor Callow, second. Councillor Sinclair. Comments, questions, statements?
Good. Just on 72, that under service premises, for those dot points there, they all just automatically get the water free, or they can apply.
Refer that to our GM.
Through the chair, I just ask Michelle, are you aware, like, they're all non-for-profit or...
Yeah, they'd be all schools and churches and charities.
Yeah. Yep. So they just automatically get the water?
They don't get charged.
Yeah, they don't have to apply this year or
this year. Generally with rates they do, but general purpose councils. But.
I mean, I can't see how some of those would even exist for having water like a red pump.
So through the chair, the board's had this in place since 2004,
yeah.
And you'll note there in the background that, you know, access charge donations are around $159,000. I had the comment at one of the councils about what donations do we provide, and this is the example I gave, along with the drinking fountains that we provide as well too.
So in the case of showgrounds,
I think they can afford to pay.
Well. I don't know about that, but I know the local showground here, yeah, they let caravans, caravans come in and camp the night for only a few dollars, but they're able to get their water for nothing. But
I would be taking showgrounds up with the salmon as well.
Well, I don't know about taking them off, but I just completely deny, around there. In the case of tomorrow, anyway, I don't know about other showgrounds, but they've got campers coming in and camping, right. And it's exactly. Only taking them a few dollars. They're in competition with our caravan parks and so forth, who are paying water rates and stuff.
Through you, Mr. Chair, do we monitor that? Do we monitor what a showground uses?
No, through the chair, we don't. But remember, this is just the access charge, so the usage is different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's the access. And remembering the showgrounds will tend to have big ones because to get the water on the lawns. So, yeah. So the usage is still payable. It's just the access.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Councillor Armstrong.
Just a question three, Mr. Chair, to the General Manager. For the groups listed in the proposed policy, that exist in the bulk supply councils areas, are they still receiving similar consideration, or is this only for those organisations that are directly serviced by Golden Birds?
Through the chair, I'd have to take that one on notice. I'm not sure. Now, this is a policy we've had in place for the last 16 years, but I'd have to take that on notice.
My immediate reaction is I'd be surprised, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to commit to that. I'll ask the general manager.
I can't see why you haven't sent board meeting
questions
on there.
Going to be up to
that. I mean, it's like any group. It's pretty clumsy.
But they are covered in this policy, you cricket clubs and football clubs, by using a sporting thing.
But through the chair, though, the access charges are payable, though, to the bulks. They wouldn't be payable to us. Because we charge, Hilltops and Kuta pay us. So, Greg, based on that, I wouldn't think so.
It's up to you.
Yeah.
Would you agree with
that? So this policy is only going to exist... is that mainly being placed for those consumers that are directly serviced by Golden Fields?
Yeah, that are customers of Golden Fields, yes.
Correct.
Thank you.
That's the only way it could be.
Yeah.
Correct. Any further questions or statements? If not, all those in favour?
Aye.
Just 1 minute. Code of conduct is the next agenda item. Council adopt PPO 31 Code of Conduct and
P019
Administrative Procedures for the Code of Conduct.
Am I surprised?
Somebody move and second, please.
No,
you won't.
Councillor
Sinclair.
I'll second.
And Councillor McKeon, comments, statements, or questions?
What annoys me is that they put all this stuff on local government and then the state. They can do as they please. Just
they can
pull
the barrel, they can do what they like, and I'm unenforceable.
Yeah.
I'm not going to support any of those.
Further questions or statements in regard to the agenda issue? If not, all those in favour?
I'm against
the
game.
I'm trying to the recorder, but I'm not that terrible. Fast. Well. The next agenda item is the Goldenfield Water PPO 10 Gifts and Benefits Policy. Council officers' recommendation that the council adopt the updated PPO 10 Gifts and Benefits Policy. Who's going to move it? Councillor Sinclair?
I'll move it.
Councillor McGlynn, questions, statements, comments? If there's no questions or comments, all those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Did it just go through on challenge?
Yeah. Page 150. Delivery program.
Oh, I missed that. Right, page 150. Delivery program progress report. The council's office of recommendation is that council's July to December 2020 delivery program progress report be received and noted.
So, moved.
So, Councillor McCann, seconded. Councillor Callow, thank you. Comments, questions, statements? Hard to get a debate going. If there's no questions or comments, statements, all those in favour?
Aye.
Well, you'll get out of here, Michael. Am I right, moving to 184?
Yeah, 184.
The next agenda item is disclosures by councils and designated persons return. The officer's recommendation to council note the tabling of disclosures by council and designated persons returned prescribed within the report. Seconded?
Yes.
Councillor Callow again, thank you. Comments, questions, statement? So that just.
I think that's. That, yeah, just to do with my. I was elected to the board of RSL New South Wales.
Oh, yeah, no. So any time that's there, yeah, there's something changed in the, since the last time there, yeah, yes.
If there's no questions or comments, all those in favour? The next ordinary meeting of council is scheduled to be held Thursday 22 April 2021 at 10 a.m.
Close the
meeting closed.
Good.
Just a, Mr. Chair, if I've one question to the General Manager. Is there any word on the extension of the order permitting Zoom meetings? Have we heard anything back on that?
No, it's